You guys have a good Christmas? Did you have a Merry Christmas? Yep, okay. Well, anyways, my name's Paula Harshbarger, if you're new, and I'm filling in for Pastor Fred today. So, hope you are okay with me. If not, you're stuck with me. So, all right. Let's go ahead and open up with the word. We're going to Matthew chapter 2. Okay, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Okay, now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." You may be seated. All right, I'm going to go ahead and open this up with a little prayer. It might be windy, but that's how the Spirit is. He's windy. Okay, here we go. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Father, just come boldly before your throne, and I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for this time, for this day that we're living in, Father. I thank you for all the opportunities, Lord, that you've given us. Oh, Father, I just ask that anyone in here who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying today, Father. And Father, I just pray that your angels, that they would just remain in this place and that they'd minister to your people, Lord, as they're in here. And I pray today that we have a revelation that we are heaven on earth, right here in our seats, Lord. And Father, I just ask that you would just open our eyes so that we can see and our ears that we can hear. Father, I just love you, and I just ask that you would empty me out as your vessel, and you would use me, and I just thank you for appointing me for this appointment, this appointed time, Father. I thank you for it, and I praise you, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you here, and we are so blessed that you're with us, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, anyways, before, whenever I get an opportunity to do this, or have an appointment, I like to say it's an appointment, because God sets up times, doesn't he? So anyways, I'm appointed to be here this morning. So anyways, I'd like to ask the Lord, what does he want to say to his people? So I wrote down what the Lord wants to say to you, because it's very important to me that I just don't tell you anything. I don't have nothing to say to you, so I need to bring what the Lord wants to say to you, all right? So anyways, he told me to tell you, I love you, and he said, and I have given you everything you need to accomplish the things I have set before you. That's what the Lord is saying to his body right now. He's saying, I have given you everything you need to accomplish the things I have set before you. So that's what the Lord is speaking to his children right now, you sons and daughters. Okay, so let's start with Matthew chapter 2. I looked up the word wise men here because I was curious, because you ever hear the play on words? It's better to be a wise man, you know, on the Christmas time they have those shirts. And so is it really a wise person? Was this person really wise? And I looked up the word wise, the word wise and men, and it was actually the word is magos, and it's an astrologer, a scientist, a knowledgeable, this person's knowledgeable, or a magician. Can you believe that? It's not anything of God. This person was not of anything of God. This person was an astrologer. He looked at the stars. He was a scientist. They were knowledgeable, and they were magicians. So I want to talk a little bit about the misconception of these wise men at this manger scene we always see, because we always see the wise men at the manger scene. Well, I just want to let you know that the wise men were not there at the manger scene. I mean, if you read in chapter 2 here, it tells you the whole story, so later if you don't believe me, go check it out, but I'm telling you the truth. The wise men were not there at the manger scene. They actually weren't there till 2 years later. So when they visited Jesus, he was actually around 2 years old. Let's see, do you all think there was three of them? Well, there might not have been three, because the Bible really doesn't say that there was three. And it sounds like there might have been more, but we just don't know, because the word does not actually say that there was three. It does say that there was three gifts. There was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but he never really comes out and says that there was three men. There was three kinds of gifts, but we don't even know how much of the gifts there was. There could have been a whole bunch of gold, a whole bunch of myrrh, a whole bunch, you know, We don't know how much it was. And so I want you to look in verse 3 here. If you look in verse 3, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And this is because the wise men have come, and they are saying, where is he, king of the Jews? They want to know where king of the Jews is at, this baby. And verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It says all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And so Jerusalem is not a small town. Jerusalem is a large place, a large city. And so how many of us would notice if three men got off the interstate? I mean, if they just drove up, you know, by themselves, I mean, we wouldn't know them from anyone, would we? Well, whatever this was with these wise men, it made a big ruckus in town that all of Jerusalem was even troubled with Herod. Because they were like, what are they wanting? What are they doing? You know, what's going on here? So it's almost like I would know if the circus came to town, you know, because it's a big gold thing going on. You see the big old things coming in. So that's what I'm thinking this myself. This is not the Lord. I'm to myself. I'm thinking this might have been a caravan. All right. So we just don't know how many there were. There could have been lots of wise men. There could have just been three wise men and caravans. We don't know how big it was. But all we know is that Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled. Now look at that word troubled, and that word troubled is tarso. And that word actually, it's in the Greek, and that actually means to be the fear from coming inside. It meant to be mentally in fear, this word troubled did. So they were actually in fear for something inside of them was all full of fear. And Herod was in fear also because, you know, he wanted to be king of the Jews. Herod was not even a Jew, and he wanted to be king of the Jews, and he was, afraid that more or less that this baby was coming, this king of the Jews, and it was going to take, because everyone knew the prophecies. So anyways, next thing you know, Herod, he's like, we need all of the scribes, and I need all the priests, we need all the chief priests in here, I got to find out what's going on. And I noticed in the scripture it says all of them, all of the chief priests, all of the scribes. It wasn't his. It was all of them. So he got them all in there. And so he's asking them, what about this king of the Jews? You know, where is this Christ supposed to be born? And they tell him. And if you read in verse 6, it tells them that it's Bethlehem is where it's going to be. That's where the Christ is coming. So now Herod's a little like, oh my gosh, you know, this could really be it. So what he does is he secretly invites the wise men in. And he's talking to the wise men, and he's saying, you know, what time did you see this star in the sky that, you know, led them to Bethlehem? And they told him it was approximately 2 years ago. And he said, you know, go on, he said, and go out. And he said, you find him. And when you find him, you come back and let me know. All right, he said, let me know when you find him, because I want to come and worship at his feet too. But one thing you need to know about Herod, he was really a murderer. Oh, he was a wicked man. He actually killed his wife and two brothers because he thought they committed treason. And actually, Herod had 9 wives, but we don't know what happened to every wife. But the first one didn't look pretty, so that's a lot of wives to have. So let's just move on here. So the wise men, they come to follow the star. Herod sent them out. The wise men, they go out. They find the star, and it's right above a house. The Bible says a house. See, they're not in this little manger scene at all. They're in the house. And it says that they go into the house. So they go into the house, and they worship Jesus, and they bring their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh to Jesus. And so I thought this was really neat because these wise men, they were Gentiles. They were sinners. They were sinners in need of a Savior. And God can use sinners to bring gifts to you. And I like that. And I like the fact too that God can use anyone. God can use anyone he wants because he's the creator of all things. And he used these sinners to bring these gifts to baby Jesus. But the whole thing too is they could have brought anything that was worth some money, but they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I loved it because all three of those things represent who Christ is. The gold was the king, represents his deity. And the frankincense represent the sacrifice. They use that in sacrificial offerings. So that was for the sacrifice he made. And the myrrh is for his death. So I love that because God, God is so awesome because he uses things, and if you really look into it, he's behind a lot of it, and you can see it. Do you know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but that's what the Lord laid on them to bring. So that's what they brought. So anyways, while they're there, it doesn't really say they stay all night or anything, but it says that they have a dream. And then, so they have this, the wise men have a dream, and it's a prophetic dream. And that's a kind of dream that's foretelling the future. And in this dream, God told them, do not go back to Herod, go back to your own hometown. So they go back to their own hometown. Well, the same time that the wise men are having a dream, Joseph is also having a dream. And the angel in the dream says, get your son and your wife out of here and go to Egypt. And the reason the Lord had gave that dream to Joseph to get the child and, you know, marrying them out of there and go to Egypt was because Herod had just decreed a law, an order to go out to kill all male babies 2 years and younger. So see, Herod was trying to kill Jesus. All male babies 2 years and younger in all of Bethlehem were going to be, you know, I guess they would be slaughtered. So, and I thought it was also interesting too is how the wise men bought the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. They were very expensive gifts. The gold, of course, we all know is expensive, but the frankincense and myrrh, they used for anointing oils, they used for perfumes, and they were very expensive spices that you could use those to trade with because they were very valuable. And it's neat to know because when they moved, you know, when you move, you have to have money to move. Now, they're relocating from a house to another town, so they need the money to relocate. So more or less, they probably used this gold, this frankincense, and myrrh for their financial need to get to the next town. So God knew beforehand, sent the wise men to bring the treasures so they could, you know, move. I think that's really a neat thing. So I was thinking about how the wise men, they brought gifts to Jesus, right? And then our Father, he gives us a gift. And it's Jesus. The wise men took a gift to Jesus. The Father gives us the gift of Jesus. As it says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who shall ever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we can have everlasting life through this gift of Jesus, right? So if you believe on Jesus, you can go to heaven. And so then I was thinking, and then Jesus, when he died, what did he give us? He gave us another gift. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I know some of us don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit because he's a little like, you know, no one ever talks about the Holy Spirit. We don't know much about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is actually the one who's here with us now. See, the Bible says that our Father is in heaven and Jesus is at the right hand of our Father. So the one who's actually down here doing the work now is the Holy Spirit. So, and I love it. He's down here with us right now. So I wrote some scriptures down. If you want to go back and look, make sure I'm all right. John 16:7 talks about the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, speaking of Jesus, for if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. See, he had to go away. Jesus had to go away in order for the Helper to come. Because see, only the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was available to those who, you know, God chose to have him. And now it's available to all of us who believe in Jesus. So if you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you now have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Isn't that awesome? Charlie, you now have the Holy Spirit in you. Susan, you do too. Don't be sad. You got him too. But all of us do. And that's why we're the body of Christ. We all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, right? John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you all things. And I love this analogy of a satellite dish. And so you got a satellite dish, and this is how you pick up all your programs, right? A lot of you got satellite dishes, pick up your programs for your television. What it is the television programs out there in the airwaves somewhere, right? It picks it up on your satellite dish, comes in, and it goes into the box square thing, the television, right? And it shows you the picture. It's telling you what's out here, and it's bringing it through, and it's like communicating for you, letting you know this is what's going on out there. And it's the same with us. See, the Father and Jesus are in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is like the satellite dish in us. And what it is when we, because we can now talk to the Father, and we say, Father, you know, we pray in Jesus' name, and then the Father talks back to us. And what happens is it comes, and then it gets interpreted inside of us. And it is sometimes like that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Sometimes some of us do see pictures. Some of us see pictures. Some of us might have dreams when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Some of us might hear his voice. Some of us might have impressions. Some of us might have feelings of the Holy Spirit, how he's talking to us. How the Father, isn't that awesome? So now we can hear from the Father, and we can hear from Jesus because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. If you do not have, if you have not accepted Jesus, you have not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, so you cannot hear what the Father is saying to you. And that goes clear back in the garden where we were excommunicated. You can't hear me no more. But now you're able to hear again. Okay, so and also Colossians 1:27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among you, the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know how that is? It's because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Now you can hear from Christ. It is in you, so now you can hear. And that word glory means original intent. So now you're going to find out who you are. And that's like going back, clear back here. I didn't think about that, but the Father said, he says, and I have given you everything you need to accomplish the things I have set before you. The Holy Spirit is already in you. And everything you need is already in here. The Holy Spirit's here. And you, it says, the hope, you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So everything you need is in here. You communicate to the Father and Jesus, and they communicate back. Everything you need is already here, right? Christ in you, hope of glory. I love that. I love it that now I can just, just look at me. I got Jesus in me. I got the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. And what do you think about that? I mean, I look out there, and I just know God is out there sitting out there. We're all one body. I love it. We're all one body. Look at your neighbor. Look at them. Christ is dwelling within them. The Holy Spirit is in there. In there. That is so awesome. We are truly one body. Let's wait. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're one. We are one. All right? Okay, and we're going to move on. Let's see. Acts 1:4. And this, you can go there later. The Holy Spirit is a promise from the Father. So this is a promise from the Father. The Holy Spirit is a promise from the Father. And I love Romans 14:23 because it actually says that whatever is not from faith is sin. So more or less, if you do not believe what God says, you are in sin. I love that because it takes away all the doubt. It's like we can trust what he says. If the Father says he's promised the Holy Spirit to us, then we have it. Because if I don't believe that I have the Holy Spirit because I'm saved now, then I'm in sin. I'm in sin. So when you're sick and you're sick now and it's like, oh, by his stripes I am healed. Jesus, you said, by your stripes I am healed. If I don't believe that, then I am in sin. I have to believe God's word. That's Romans 14:23. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Christ is in you by the Holy Spirit, and that's how you're empowered, because you cannot do nothing on your own. We are nothing. We have nothing. The Bible says that if we try to do something, our righteousness is like filthy rags in Isaiah. So we have nothing. We are nothing. The only way that we can really do anything good is if we got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, right? It has to be him. The Lord says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It has to come by him. It has to come by him. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've had a very overwhelming, it's just like, things are going, and it's like, oh no, I got this thing done, so now it's time to do this thing, and now, oh, this thing's over, oh, I can do this thing now. It's like very, you know, like this, and I thought, Lord, how am I going to do all these things? How am I going to do all of these things? But it's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord, right? I'll just tell you a little bit of my week. I had 3 extra kids on Monday and Tuesday, you know, that aren't from my household, so it was a little like, oh my gosh, and they're leaving their stuff lay all over, so you're constantly picking up and you're feeding extra people. And then Wednesday we had to come in here and do the Wednesday service, so we had learned a couple new songs, you know, a couple songs, you know, and had to get ready for Christmas dinner because people are coming over. Had to make sure you had all your presents wrapped, you know, all that stuff. And then I had a cake. I haven't baked cakes and decorated them for a long time, but I'm just been like years. I mean, but I had this great big one I had to do, and it was due Friday, so I was like, oh my gosh. And then I had to prepare a sermon for Saturday and Sunday. I was like, Lord, how am I going to do all of those things? I can't do all of those things. And it was so crazy because even on Wednesday is when the Lord started speaking to me about the sermon, but I didn't realize it. I mean, it was in my head going, what's the message about? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? You know, it's almost like unwrapping a gift. What are you going to say? And so even Wednesday, He started speaking to me about the message. It was about the wise men. And so let's move on to our next thing. I'm going to tell you about the wise men here a little more. Let's go to Romans 12:5. Okay, you guys beat me. I'm still going there. Okay, Romans 12:5. Here we go. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right, so what I'm going to tell you is Wednesday the Lord started to show me some stuff about the message, and it was about the wise men. And as I was coming here, just all of a sudden, you know, He starts revealing some things to me. You start like, oh, you know, Lord, You are so good to us. But what it was is, you know how the wise men came and they brought Jesus gifts? Now remember, they were sinners in need of a Savior, bringing gifts. Well, that's how we are to be. We're to be like the wise men, and because we all have gifts. See, Romans 12:5 says, we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of another. That's the Holy Spirit in us, but we're all different. And it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. All of us have gifts. And I realized that all those things I had to do, because I knew even making that cake I had to make, that the Lord wanted me to do that because I was supposed to, those people I never see, but they called me up out of the blue and wanted me to do that. And I knew it was God that wanted me to, when they come pick it up, I was all alone with them. I mean, what an opportunity to share, you know what I mean? But even that cake, it was just like everything had its appointment. And I realized on Wednesday coming in here was, Lord, I have gifts and You want me to give them back to You. So here I am. See, I can't bow down to the baby Jesus, but I can bow down to the Lord of all the earth, Jesus, King of heaven and earth. So here I am. It's an appointment because the Bible says, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. See, you did not choose your father. He chose you. He saw you when you were a miserable mess. Miserable. He sees you now. If you are not saved, He sees you now. And He has chosen you. And then it says, and appointed you that you may bear fruit that will last. So he has appointed you. He's not only chosen you, but he's appointed you. So, and that's an appointment, right? Appointed. An appointment. And so I said, wow, I have a Wednesday appointment. You know, I had a Wednesday appointment I had to show up for. Well, as I was up here, I was like, oh, Lord, how beautiful you are. Because here I am showing up for my appointment, like you wanted me to. But then all he wanted was for me to share my gift back to him, to sing to him, to give back what he rightfully gave to me in the first place. But it was beautiful. He chose me just for that. And there's so many times in our lives the Lord has called you and he's chosen you just for special things, because he's put different gifts in you. And I don't know what your gifts are, but you will. You'll find out. And if you do know, there's different places that we're to go in our life. You know, and I like cake, you know, decorating that cake. Well, was that really a gift? Well, the painting part of the, I like that part because I love to draw. That's a talent. Well, the other part of it was when they come to pick it up, how I was towards the person. My gift was in operation. I have a gift of exhortation, so I can build people up. You know what I mean? And they needed that. They don't even go to church. They needed my gift. The Christ in me, the hope of glory. Someone needs it. So I wrote a list. I've got a list here. It's from the Bible. I didn't make it up myself. But I wrote down the scripture if you're interested in knowing some of these gifts. Because I want you to start thinking about, what are your gifts? What has the Father given to you? It says that he has given you all gifts. He knows you. In Psalms 139, it says that he formed you in your mother's womb. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows everything about you. The things that you think no one knows about you, he knows. All right? He made your personality. He made you the way that you are. And then he gave you a gift. I could have the same gift, but it's different because, see, I have a different personality, and the way I'm going to bring it across to someone's going to be way different than this person is. Do you know what I mean? So we need to be thinking, what are your gifts? What do you have? What are your talents? So I got this list here. There's three different kinds. There's gifts from the Father, there's gifts from the Holy Spirit, and there's gifts from Jesus. Okay, we'll start with the gifts of the Father. These are basic life motivational gifts. These gifts can never be taken away from you because they're from the Father. But you can bury them and never use them, and you will be miserable. You will be miserable because we are not truly happy until we're using them, because that's what we're called and created to do. It's to be using these things for our Father to advance the kingdom. Okay, these are from Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. They're gifts of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. Those are all gifts from the Father. Gifts from Jesus is from Ephesians 4, 11, and 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And they are apostle, prophet, evangelist, preacher, and teacher. Or pastor and teacher, sorry, preacher. And these gifts are all for the equipping of the body. That's why when you see pastor up here, and you love it, because he is just breaking that word down so you can actually live it. It's not over your head. Well, he's working in this gift. He's equipping the body. He's giving you guys the word. He's working in a pastor-teacher gift, and he's equipping you guys so you can go out and live. And then you guys during the week go, oh, remember he said this week. Very level with you, you know. I mean, that word that he brings can reach someone, you know, and wherever, and someone down here. You know what I mean? It says, it doesn't matter where you're at. He can reach it. It's because it's the Lord. It's the gift in him coming out, and it's ministering to you. That is what his gift is for. It's for others. It's for the Christ in you. See, pastor is doing exactly what the wise men did. When he comes and brings his gift, he's actually going like this to the Lord in you. He's bringing the gift back. Do you understand? Can you see it? He's actually going like this and saying, here you go, back to the King. Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. Okay, so gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10 and 28. These are gifts of the Spirit. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, the gifts from Jesus and gifts from the Spirit, they can't be taken away. If you are not willing to, I mean, if you know you got a gift and you're not willing to operate in it, you know, he'll just give it to someone else who will. So I was thinking about these gifts. And then I thought, well, how many of us really know what our gifts is? Because I know I didn't know. I mean, I still am. It seems like the more you grow, the more you realize you have another gift. Or maybe the Lord gives you another gift. I don't know for sure how that works. But it's like when you're growing, you realize that, oh, I can do this too. You start seeing different things. But one way you can find out what your gifts are is you can go to the bookstore, Christian bookstore. You can go over here to the bookstore, and Julie can probably find you something on finding out what your gift is. And you can take a small test. It's not really hard, simple questions. It tells you the gifts, and it'll tell you just like that. And it'll actually break down the gifts and what they are. Another way to find out, which is it's really easier to do. And besides, when you find out what they are, you're like, great, what am I going to do with that? You know, you don't know what to do with it. It's like, well, I got the gift of exhortation. When I go over and go, hi, how are you? You know, do I do that all the time? I mean, is that how it works? No. So I mean, I can be fun and have fun, but still, is that really using my gift? So I wrote a few things down that might help you to start working in these gifts that the Lord has put in. Everyone has these things. Do not forget, no one was not in line. Everyone got some. Everyone has something. I just think, I mean, looking out, it's like, wow, you guys are like presents wrapped up. Wonder what you are, you know? Okay, so very simple. Maybe some of you like to clean, all right? I do like to clean other people's houses. I like to go in and clean their house because it makes me feel good, because I want to make it better for them, you know. I want to make them feel good, you know. I want to do that for them. And there is plenty of older people who can't clean their houses anymore. There are a few in the church that might have a little trouble cleaning their house right now. And you could do something like that. Well, you're over there cleaning her house, and, you know, she's talking, you know, to you. And you happen to be a listener while you're cleaning, you know, and you're listening to her, and you're listening to her. And then she says something to you, and next thing you know, she's having a real bad problem, you know, going on with her life. And you speak a word of wisdom to her. Well, that was your gift. And next thing you know, she's saying, you're very wise. You know, thank you. I'm so glad you helped me out. You're very wise. Well, here, what that was is you didn't know it, because you were just off doing something for someone. You know, you were taking your talent that you had, that you like to do, something you enjoy, and you're over there cleaning your house, making her feel better, you know, and you're just encouraging her, and you're cleaning, you're making her feel better. But then at the same time, you helped this woman because you gave her a word of knowledge, which was your gift. And so what happens is you start working like that. You start doing something like your talent. You start doing something like that. And next thing you know, what will happen is your gift will pop out. You'll start seeing, wow, that is my gift. You know, people will start saying stuff to you. You make me feel good when you come around. You know, you make me happy. I was kind of down. Well, if that's the case, then you have exhortation. That's a gift here. It's to help the body, right? Okay, so Say you just say, well, I think I'll go work in the coffee shop. I mean, I can do the coffee shop. I like running a register. I think it sounds fun. So you go over, and you start working in the coffee shop, and next thing you know, people come back, and they're talking to you, and they like talking to you. You're fun, and, you know, you're back there working, and then what it is you make them feel welcome. They keep coming back. You make them feel welcome because you have this gift of hospitality. So it's your gift. Or I know, like, we ever have these dinners out here, you see how nice that looks. We have, like, if you ever have, like, after service, sometimes we have a dinner. Christmas Eve we did. Well, Virgie and some ladies get together, and they do all this work. And some of them, all they say is, would you please bring this, a dish? Well, they don't mind because they like cooking, and they want to do that. That's part of their talent, you know. And so they don't have to be there to see it, you know, eating or whatever. But Virgin and lay it all out and make it look all nice, and it's very inviting, and it's hospitality, because they come in and feel welcome. Even if you're greeting at the door and you say hello, and some of you might have a gift, and some people really might to see you at the door because they're like, man, they make me feel good when I come in. You know, when I see Kevin at the door, it makes me feel like, oh, there's Kevin. He's always saying hi to me, you know, versus someone else because maybe he has that gift of hospitality. Okay, let's say you're a singer and you like to sing. Well, there's all different places you can go sing. You can even go back in children's ministry. They need help back there with those kids back there. Maybe you're more of a kid singer. Maybe you like to sing up here. Maybe you just like to sing, all right? I know Wanda did the Christmas carols, and I thought that was awesome because she likes to sing. And so, but that I think that's where she was supposed to be, was doing something like that because she likes to sing. And so she went Christmas caroling. But anyways, singing is a talent. Some people can sing, and after they're done singing, you feel so encouraged. Oh, that was good. Some people sing, and you've learned something from it. Some people can be singers and actually be like teachers because while they're doing that, they're teaching you how to worship, right? You know, because you see them worshiping and it's teaching you how to worship. So you start doing that, right? So there's so many different things behind just even if you are a singer, all right? If you got the listening ear, you know, going and listening to somebody. These little things, it seems like, well, that's not very important being out in front of someone. Why can't I have the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and be out front doing all that stuff? You know, people want to do that stuff. Let's be real with each other. No one wants to do these little, oh, yeah, I got hospitality, and yeah, I got wisdom, oh, whip-de-doo, and, you know, so what? Yeah, I speak tongues in my closet or in my car, you know. I mean, some of these gifts are more appealing than others, aren't they? But I got something to tell you. In the Lord's time, he will promote you. All right? So if you are faithful in the little things, and you are doing the little things, those are the things that count the most. And I'm talking about like going out into Walmart, and the carts are sprung out everywhere, and you see the wind driving them away. And no one puts them back in the cart carrier, and the Lord's over here going, you probably should put those back in the little cart carrier thing so they don't hit no one's car. Well, they're not hurting my car, and there's none around mine. Right? But what did the Lord say to you? He said to go put them away. So you can either get in your car and leave or go into the store, or you can go push all the carts in and might look like a fool. Look at that person out there. She don't even work here. She's pushing on. But you got to go put them away. Because, see, the Lord sees all those little things like that. And I was in between services, I just remembered something, and I thought, oh yeah, Lord, I wasn't very faithful on that one. But we have this thing at home called a junk bucket. It's disgusting. It's from Lloyd's side of the family. Anyways, what it is, you know, where I grew up, you threw all your food and everything right into the garbage. And we live down the country, so you could take it and scrape it off in the field, you know, take out your corn cobs or whatever's in the field. Well, Lloyd's family, they had to put everything into a junk bucket. And so they have this bucket, and you scrape all your food in there, and then you wash the plates off, even if they're paper plates, wash them off, and then you put them in the garbage so your garbage don't smell. And so anyways, I struggled with that big time. And so I would fight with the Lord about it. I'd be home, no one's home, just me. And I had to do the dishes, and I'd be over there going, he is not here, you know, just throw it away. And I'd get it out to the trash can, and I'd be like, oh, he said put that in the junk bucket. Oh, I don't want to. And then I'd take it back out, and then I'd go back, and I'd say, I am throwing this away, and I'd throw it in there. And then I'd come back, and then I'd be like, well, you shouldn't have done that. But inside I'd be burning mad because it's like, why do you do that junk bucket? It's all about being holy when you're married. So anyways, then I come to agreement with the Lord. Lord, you just want me to be submissive and I won't do the junk bucket thing because I'm really doing it for you. Well, then I remembered I just made that cake I was telling you about. And I made the cake and I cracked all the eggs and I put them inside the cake box and ditched the cake boxes in the trash. So I'm not, I mean, I still do things I'm not supposed to, too. But it's, so Lord, please forgive me. Anyways, what I'm saying is all those little things is what matters. Who knows what I missed out on, because I'm just saying it doesn't matter. But it does matter. All the little things that we do matter. Even when we walk out of here after service, you know, whatever service you're at, a lot of times people leave bulletins laying in the chairs, or they forget their coffee cups. I don't think they do it on purpose. I just think they walk out, and it's just like, you know, someone's like, "You evil, I'm going to leave this here," you know. Yeah, that cleaning lady will have to pick this up. No, I don't think it's like that. I think they just, you're in a hurry, you're walking out. But anyways, what it is a test for some of us. I know I've taken it a couple times. I walk down. Oh, look at all the bulletins. It was like, all right, I'll go pick them up. So I go through and I pick up all of the bulletins, you know. But see, that's really blessing me, because the Lord sees that. See, you guys don't see it because you guys left. But I'm in here picking these bulletins up. But see, it's not between you and me. It's between the Lord and me. So if he catches me doing all these little faithful things that no one knows about, more blessings for me. You know what comes with that? You get promoted. You start doing all these little things in secret, and the Lord will lift you up. Man does not exalt you. The promotions will come from the Lord. All right? So that's what we need to look at it like that. Even I was in there scrubbing the toilets, and this has been a while back ago. We had the old church. I was in there scrubbing the toilet. Oh, Lord, this is so fun. I'm cleaning the toilet in the house of the Lord, you know. And so he's like, "You know, Paula, you can do that at home." But it's so fun here, you know. Yeah, but you can make it fun at home, too. That's my house, too, there. See, I mean, all these little things that we could be doing, all right? One thing too, a drawing. I know some of us are like, "Oh, all I do is draw," you know. Yeah, all you do is draw. I've been places where there's been music playing, and they have like a little stencil set up, and they have people drawing while the music's going on. And it is so beautiful, because when they're done, it's what's on the Father's heart, or, you know, what you're feeling. You might be feeling like full of love as you're worshiping, you know, and you feel full of love, and you look over, and this artist has drew this huge heart, you know, and it's like, how awesome. The Lord will use all your gifts. He wants to use them. That ministered to me. There's a lady, first service, Sarah. She sits up front. I don't know if you can see her from the back, but she'll be up here. She is just worshiping the Lord, and she's doing all this little sign language, you know. But I see her doing that, and it ministers to me. Her gift, she's just giving it back to him, but I'm getting something from that. That's so beautiful. So we all have these gifts, and some of us might be doing many things. Maybe we like, "Oh, yeah, that's my gift too, and I like doing that, and I like doing this." And I'm like, keep doing all of that, because you know why? If you have your, like, I have my hands in singing. Sometimes I'll help Peggy in the office. I love doing all of it. I do children's ministry work behind the scenes and no one knows about. Or, you know, just all these little things. I love doing all of them. It's like, "Lord, where do you want me? Because I'm everywhere." And I would cry about it. "Where do you want me? And now Pastor wants you to do this too. And where are you called to do? What are you called to do? What are you called to do?" I'd be crying. But I should stop that. So silly, because you know what it is? I'm in training. Everything that I am doing, he is getting me ready for something more. So everything you're doing, he is just getting you ready for something more. If he finds you faithful in the little things, he will give you more. I want you guys to go over to, you don't have to go, because I think I'm a little windy talker. Must be the spirit in me. Matthew 25:14 talks about the parable of the talents. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the story, but there was a master, and he gave his servants some talents, and he wanted them to go out with the talents and do something with them, right? Well, the master comes back, and the one who had five said, "Master, I did this, I made five more." And he said, "Well done." And then he come over to the one with the two, and he said, "Oh, Master, I had these two, and I made two more." And the master said, "Well done." Well, the one with the one, what he did is he went and buried it. He went and buried his talent. And this is, he said he was afraid and went and hid his in the ground. That's what he said in the Bible, Matthew 25:14. I don't know if it's actually 14, but it says he said he was afraid and he went and hid his talent. And the Lord called him a wicked, lazy servant. He was wicked and lazy. We do not want to bury our talents and our gifts, because those things are not for you. They're for him. And that's how we're going to advance this kingdom, is by using these gifts and talents. And we need to start out by doing something. Maybe it seems so like, I don't want to come in and help clean the church. I don't want to do that. I don't want to come in and do that. Well, while you're here, maybe someone will come in and really need your help, or and you have the word of wisdom, and you give them a word, and they walk out. You know, I've been in here before, and people's come, you know, there has been times people's come in here wanting to commit suicide, but once they feel that you got, they walk out different, all right? And some of you might have gifts of healing, and maybe some of you know what your gift is, and you just feel like you can't practice it. You can't use it here for some reason in the body. Go use it. Be exercising that gift. Do not let it go. If you got a gift of healing and you have no opportunity to heal anybody, when you are out and about, the Lord doesn't want you just here in the church doing something. He wants you to go on out into the streets. I've done this before. We go to the grocery store, the lady at the cash register, you know, I go, are you sick? She said, yeah, I haven't been feeling well for a couple days. I said, you want me pray for you? And she said, yeah. So right there, we was at Sydney Food Town. Got my anointing oil out. Well, I'll pray for you now. So we're over there praying, and I just walk out. I don't have to see a healing like that, but she knows, because wherever you're at, you are heaven on earth. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have God in you. Emmanuel, God is in you. Wherever you're at, you're having these gifts. You have gifts. These gifts are to help save others, to bring others into the kingdom. They're to help each other. Isn't that so awesome? The Lord loves us. He saved us. And then he gives us gifts. And all he wants back from us is to give him back his gifts. We don't have to do anything but give him back what he's already given us. We can't give him back anything else. So I'm asking you today, what are your gifts? What are your talents? Even Lee, I'm going to pick on you, because Lee, she's over at my father's house. It's a ministry for seniors and senior citizens. So I don't know if any high school kids want to show up, but anyways, senior citizens over there, and they're over there, and Lee has a gift in drawing, and she's an excellent painter. She also is very good in the Word. And so Lee is over there, and she even likes to, she's a good sewer, and she makes these baby blankets, and they make these blankets, and then they tie the edges of them, and it's a prayer blanket, and they give them to these babies. Lee is using her gift. You guys don't see that. It's nothing important. But I tell you what, God is going to bless that. And I think about, I've actually known someone that's got that prayer blanket, and I felt so, that was such an awesome thing for someone I know to receive one of those, because I know that they were back there actually praying for that person when they were doing it. I mean, we have all these gifts, all these talents. Start by going what you enjoy, your talents, and then after, when you're doing that, your gifts will come out. They will come out. Okay, let me see. Okay, also in Matthew 25, it says, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. If you have these gifts, you're using them, the Lord's just going to keep giving. And you are going to be so full of joy because you are using these gifts. But if you bury the gift, you are going to be miserable. And the word also says in Matthew 25, it says, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. If we do not use what we have, it will be taken away, and we are going to be miserable. God wants us to have joy. He wants us to have joy. And no matter how busy we are, I love that whole thing this week. I was so overwhelmed. But it wasn't by might nor power, but it was by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you knows everything. The Father knows everything going on with you. It's almost like you just have to show up, and he does it. I just love that. And I'm even as I was preparing the sermon, it's like, Lord, you know about my week. Here I am. It's Saturday again. And it's like, but I just know, even scriptures, hanging on to those promises, because God doesn't lie. It says a king trusts in the Lord, and by the mercies of the Most High will not be shaken. If I trust in you, I'm not going to be moved. And I'm going to believe it. So I just want you to be a little more aware of the whole, what is your gift? So I want you to be thinking about that. So Daryl, you want to do the last song? I guess I'm included. Oh, Daryl. Thanks.